mercy. This is the house of the Lord where I'll live in forever. And he said, man, in order to get to that, I've got to go through this. How many of you know that's worth it? And he probably went with it with this anticipation of joy, knowing that once he got through it, because the Lord was going to go with him, that when he got on the other side, it was going to be great. Amen. If you pursue the gospel, you will suffer. It's part of the package. It's the total package. It's part of the gospel. The Matthew 12:11, we were praying this morning, John talked about it. It says, from days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. There is an enemy out to oppose us. He doesn't ever want us to enter into the purpose of God for our lives. He will do everything he can to keep us, because he knows if we ever enter into it, the gates of hell will go down wherever we go. If he can get us to somehow back down when we suffer a little bit, and then he's got us. The suffering comes from three sources. Number one, it comes from the devil. He's not out to kill you. I mean, he's not out to hurt you. He's out to kill you. He's out to stop you at all times, at all costs. There is a kingdom. The darkness is that it's going to do everything you can. Every time you read the word maturity or perfection, not every time, but the majority of time, you'll see with it the word press. When it says, let us press on to maturity. Every time that you try to move into the purpose of God and become mature, the enemy's going to oppose you, and you're going to have to press. You're going to have to learn how to press. You're going to have to learn how not to be stopped. You're going to have to learn that when you get knocked down, you get back up. And you keep going, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it costs, because there's something greater if you ever can enter into the purpose of God for your life. And the Lord will help you. The second source of suffering is the world. God calls us to minister to a lost and dying world. How many of you know that the world doesn't make it easy? How many of you know that most of them don't want to be saved? Hey, you've got all the answers. You're running up to them. You're trying to tell them. And they say, get out of my face. Or even the ones that will say, yes, most of the time they'll con you. They'll abuse you. They'll hurt you. They'll disillusion you. And you're sitting here saying, I'm supposed to minister to them? It's no wonder that we as Christians become isolated and consume the majority of our Christianity upon ourselves, because every time we try to sow something in the kingdom of God, it came back in our face, and we started getting hurt. And we think, I'm not going to become vulnerable again. They talked about me. They called me names. I've even lost my job over it. But I want you to know, again, that's part of the passage. That's a part of what we've been called to. One of the myths that's in the charismatic circles, if it's of God, it must be easy. That's a lie. Anybody says it's easy, didn't walk it. I just talk about it. It's easy to talk about it. I'm a great talker about Christianity. It's hard. Last source of suffering, man, if the devil's not tripping you up and the world's not tripping you up, you're tripping yourself up. It's the flesh, man. I want you to know, man, I get tired of being me. I really do. I mean, you guys get tired of me, but I get even more. I got to live with me 24 hours a day. It's no picnic, man, I'm telling you. If I could take separate vacations, that's right, Raymond knows, we live together. If I could take separate vacations, because every time I get fired up, the devil didn't trip me up, and if the world didn't trip me up, my own carnality trips me up. And I get discouraged and get depressed, and I begin to think I'm never going to overcome anything. But I want you to know that there's something within me now that is beginning to build up, as though I do have a lot of problems. I am insensitive at times, and I still have some problems in a lot of other areas. But I want you to know this morning, I'm never going to make peace with them. They're never going to be welcomed in my life. I'm never going to say it's okay for me to be this way. They may be there, but I am going to war against them until they're gone. They will not be welcomed in my life. They may trip me up, and I'm going to get back up and say, that's not the end of the book. That's the end of the chapter. And one of these days, you're going to go. Amen. That's right. Oh, yeah. I want you to know that Paul says, join in with me in the suffering. The suffering for the gospel is volunteer. You've got to buy into it. God will not force you. If you decide to back down, he says, okay. You've got to join in with the suffering. You've got to overcome these problems voluntarily. Our salvation isn't primarily so that we can have a blessed life, but so that we can have a life that blesses. That's what it's primarily for. It's not primarily for me so I can, you know, have joy unspeakable, but so that I can distribute that joy to a world that is so full of sorrow and despair. We have to join in. Verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of timidity. How do we overcome these problems? Well, the first thing we've got to do is that we've got to acknowledge that we have a spirit of timidity, and then to rid ourselves of it. And let me tell you, God didn't give it to us, but we sure enough got it. And one of the things I'm hoping this morning, and I'm not going to do much more, is that the Lord will somehow show all of us just how much this spirit of timidity has permeated our lives and has hindered us from moving on into God the way that we want to. The Greek word literally means cowardice. It means a fear of exposing ourselves to danger. It means a state where you no longer take risks. Now, God didn't give us this spirit, but we have received it to protect ourselves. We've received it to protect our personality, to protect our popularity, to protect our ego, to protect our leisure time, to protect our family time, to protect our finances. We have received it to protect. And you can see it. You can see it, this fear and gifting. There's many, many people in here that have a gift from the Lord, but every time the Lord moves on you to move into that gift, you get fearful. And you start saying, what if it's not a true word? Or what if I don't give it right? Or what if I look funny? And so the spirit of timidity keeps you from moving into what God has for you. Because it can make you a little fearful. You can see it in witnessing. Man, how many people do we constantly move into daily that somehow we feel a prompting in the Holy Spirit share the gospel with them, but as soon as we do, we evaluate it and we want to protect. Well, what if they don't like me anymore? Or what if they think I'm a fanatic? But we're afraid of something. We see it in finances. God moves on it. You're sitting here, I'm not a care in the world. God says, give $100 more. What? Immediately you start thinking, well, if I do that, I'm afraid I won't pay my bill, or I won't get my car payment done, or I won't get my house payment in. And the fear of it keeps from God moving in what he wants us to move. You can see the spirit of community and ministry opportunities. We've probably even seen it, and I'm not trying to say it with you two, because our prayer time is great, but we've probably seen it this week in our prayer time. A lot of people probably didn't come to the prayer meeting because they were afraid they may be called on to pray. Or if they did pray, their prayer wouldn't measure up to somebody else's in the room that was praying. Well, I can't pray like that, so I'm just going to shut up. It does something to us, the spirit of timidity. Man, I see it in my own life. See, when we first got saved, how many remember when you first got saved? Man, we didn't have it. How many of you know you didn't have it when you first got saved? I mean, we took risks for the kingdom of God. We said things that you wouldn't say. We talked to people you normally wouldn't talk to. We did things you normally wouldn't do. We were considered fanatical. And you want to know one of the reasons why we took those risks? Because when we first got saved, we didn't have anything to protect. We didn't have a thing to protect. I had a worthless, no good life. No one thought anything of me anyway. I mean, popularity, I didn't have it. Possessions, I had nothing. Family, I didn't have it. I had nothing, and so there was nothing to protect, so I went for it. And I started praying, God bless me, and he did, but his blessing ended up hindering me in what I was doing, because every time he gave me something, I began to become a little bit more and more timid because I had a little bit more and more to protect. Diane and I used our house tremendously for hospitality until we got Jessica. I got to protect my little girl. And there's some wisdom in that. But I didn't mean for me to get totally away from it. The more money I have, the more I remember a time when the Lord said, give it, I just gave it because I didn't have enough anyway. I said, what the heck? I can't pay my bills anyway, so I might as well give it here. Who knows? God may move. But now, oh, man, if I do that, I won't be able to go on a vacation I want to go to. I mean, I'll go to protect it. And the more God blesses us, the more we feel like we've got to protect something. I want you to know we can't do that anymore. It all belongs to God. We've got to entrust it in Him and know that He can guard it until that day. Everything that we have, my family time, my leisure time, all of it belongs to the kingdom of God. Barney and Mrs. Paul were known as men who risked their lives for the gospel. You can't pursue God's purpose and protect your lives at the same time. Daily, we've got to be willing to risk it all. I'm serious. Not in a foolish way, but in a way that says, God, I want to go for it again. I'm not going to be worried about timidity. I'm not going to, if I mess up, fine, I'm going to get back up. We just need to move on and go. But this spirit that God has given us, it's number one, it's the spirit of power. It's supernatural in function. It's the spirit of power. It's a power that can work miracles. It's the a power that will give us courage to put the devil to flight and to fear. Through this spirit, we can do damage to the kingdom of darkness, because this spirit can conquer sickness, sin, and the grave. It can pull down strongholds. It can overcome spiritual wickedness in high places. With this spirit, we can do damage to the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of God. I mean, kingdom of darkness instead of the kingdom of darkness doing damage to us. A lot of times, Christians will come up and pray for, ask me to pray for me. Say, Jim, pray for me. The devil's asking me. I'm longing for the day where a demon will come up to me and say, Jim, pray for me. Those Christians are asking me. I'm serious. I believe if we ever understood, if we had a revelation of the power that is available to us, how many of you know that power gives you courage? How many of you know that when you strap on a gun, you feel a little bit more froggy? I mean, you do. I mean, you just feel like you really something. How many of you know if you've been lifting weights for a while, man, you puck your chest out there? I mean, power gives you courage. And if we ever really understood what kind of power that we have in Jesus Christ, that we can put demons to flight, that we can put the very devil to flight, and I'm not here flaunting him this morning, but there's something in me, way down inside of me, that wants to somehow one day get on the devil's 10 most wanted list. I do. I want to, if there's any post offices down in hell, I want my picture in it. I really do. I want it to say, won it, Jim Newsom, at all costs. And then I want a caption say, but be careful, he's armed and dangerous. He'll pull down a stronghold. He'll overcome a spiritual wickedness. I want that to be said about Covenant Church of Orlando.